when all the world is seemingly blowing up around us and discouragements on every hand, and I'm telling you, the discouragements are out there. All you got to do is serve the Lord a little while and you'll find out there's discouragements. And amidst all of that, thank God it can be well with my soul. And our souls can be settled upon the good graces of the Lord. And he certainly can help us with the needs that we have, whether they be spiritual, physical, whatever the need is. I'm glad the Lord is gracious to us and lets us know everything is well. If you would tonight, take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Kings in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter number 4. Back some few weeks ago, we looked at the prophet Elijah and had three or four messages on Elijah and how that he was a prophet of thunder. He comes on the scene, makes some statements, and then he disappears for a while, and he gets into the battle and prays to the Lord, and God answers him with the fire from heaven. Then he gets discouraged, and he gets all out of shape because Jezebel makes a statement about him that she is going to make sure he sees the same end to his life as he brought to those prophets of Baal. And so she literally threatens him with death, and he finds himself under a juniper tree and said, "Lord, why do I even continue?" And I don't know of any of us that have not been there. We get those places in our life. Sometimes we, even after great victories, it seems as though the devil attacks really, really hard after a victory in your life, and then we sometimes succumb to that, and we ask the question why. But God had blessed Elijah. God told him to get up and go about his business and begin to prepare him for leaving this world. And Elijah left here different than anybody else ever has. He lived probably a little different. The Bible says he was taken up in a whirlwind, a chariot of fire. And so Elijah is the prophet of fire. He's that prophet is identified with the fiery judgment of the Lord and his departure from this world. And then we had those messages, and then began to do some things on Elisha, the prophet that followed after Elijah. We read the story there in the scripture where God had told Elijah, there's the man, Elisha, Elisha follows him a while, and he says, "I want double your portion of power. I want everything double of what you've had. I want a double portion of power." And Elijah said, "You've asked a hard thing and something that's difficult, but if you see me leave, God will deliver that to you." And so in the story, we find that every time Elijah tried to leave Elisha behind, he said, "I'm not leaving you behind. I'm not staying behind. I'm going where you go." And sure enough, the Lord came and delivered Elijah, and the mantle or that scarf that the prophets wore as he departed from this world fell upon Elijah, or Elisha rather, and he asked the question, "Where's the Lord God of Elijah?" And realize tonight that the Lord God of Elijah is still in the same place he was then. And he's not diminished in his power. He's not weakened in his strength. And our God is just as powerful and just as strong as he was during the time of Elijah and Elisha. And Elisha begins his ministry, and sure enough, there are double miracles. He asked for a double portion, and and God gave him double portion of everything that Elijah had. And if you can count, when you count the miracles that was attributed to Elijah, Elisha has twice as many. Elijah pronounced judgment for a period of years, and Elijah pronounces drought and judgment for a double period of years. And so God answered his prayer. God gave him what he desired and what he asked. And the first miracle that happened in Elisha's life is that when he came back to the river And he asks that question. He strikes the water with the mantle of Elijah and says, "Where's the Lord God of Elijah?" And the water parted and he went across on dry land. And that's that first miracle that God gave to him. And from that point on, the life of Elisha is filled with tremendous miracles of the Lord and the working of God in his life. We noted a couple of weeks ago that as Elijah was the prophet of thunder and a prophet of fire, Elisha is more of just a steady, continual processing of the work of the Lord. He doesn't make the big statements. He doesn't do some of the things that Elijah did. But God is very faithful to him, and he just steadily works and makes progress in the work that God has given him. And so we find tonight, we come to 2 Kings chapter number 4, and we mentioned a couple of these things last time, but not in detail. And so I want to go back and note some things here about Elisha's life and those that were involved in his life, and certainly the work of the Lord that is given to us here in these verses. So let's look in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 1. Now there was a certain, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen." And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house?" In the house. And she said, "Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." And he said, "Go borrow the vessels abroad of thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few." And when they were are come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So when so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought in the vessels and to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. And she came and told the man of God. And he said, "Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." Here we find this story very easily to understand concerning this widow and the need that she had in her life. I would say she probably, we would consider her to be a successful person in the things that she had done. And I don't know of any of us that do not want to be successful. I think we are driven to be successful. It doesn't matter what position, where we are. We want people to think about. We want people to look at us and say they're able to do what they have started out to do. And certainly as Christians, we should have the desire in our life that we want to be, in the eyes of God, to be successful. Now, to be successful in the eyes of God does not mean that we're successful in the eyes of men. Those are two different things. What man says is success, God hardly ever recognizes that. And what God shows as success, man probably doesn't notice it too well. But to be successful in the eyes of God, first of all, you have to be born again. You have to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people today that name the name of Christ, and they want to be a successful Christian as far as their words are concerned, but they really and truly in their heart, they've never really come to believe, come to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And until that takes place in their life, they'll never be a successful Christian. They'll never be a successful person, much less, and even not being a Christian. But to be successful, we got to be born again. Also, to be successful, I believe we need to be found faithful. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 2, that's required of a steward, is that he be found faithful. A steward is someone that takes care of whatever. We have been put in the position as a believer, as a Christian, we are stewards of certain things in the Christian realm and the Christian life. We are keepers of the Word of God. We are keepers of truth, and we are stewards of those things that God has freely given to us, and he has told us to take care of that, make sure those things remain. There's a lot of folks tonight failing in that area of faithfulness. They're failing in so many areas of their life. Number one area is to be found faithful in the work of the Lord. Everything seems to take place. Everything seems to take forefront. But God tells us if we're going to be successful in his eyes, we have to be a Christian. We have to be found faithful, to be obedient unto the Word of God, and to be understanding in the things of the Lord, and to realize that God has put me in a position that I'm to be able to take care of this. What you take care of may be different than what I take care of. The ministry and the mission that God has for all of us may be a little bit different, but he gives us ability, and he entrusts us with certain things that we can be faithful in and be a servant of the Lord, and that will make us a success in the eyes of God. And then thirdly, to be a success, really successful, here all of us fall short of this. I believe we must find that we are able to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that the Holy Spirit would indwell us and fill us and help us to accomplish those things that he gives for us. Now, we understand in the New Testament when a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit comes in. We have all of the Holy Spirit. We don't get part of him today and part of him tomorrow. And we don't do certain things in order for him to come and enhance us and help us have a little bit more of him. When we got saved, the Holy Spirit came to move in our life. He moved in our body. Our bodies are no longer our own. They're the temple of God, and we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But to be filled with the Holy Spirit is that action that God permits us to have, and that power that God permits us to have in our personal life, that we can do something for him that maybe somebody else could not do. I'm not saying we're able to perform miracles, because we cannot. The day of miracles, I believe, is past, and those days are over as far as man being able to do that. God can do anything he desires, and God's still a miracle-working God, and he can still do things for us that's miraculous in every way. But God comes to us that we are able to fulfill the blessings of the Lord, what he has for us, by the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. The Bible commands us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18, the Bible commands us to be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Spirit of God. The Scripture says there not to be drunk when in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we find there's this continual action in the life of a believer, and to be found successful in the work of the Lord. We often relate successful with certain things that God has no intention of having that in our life. Successful with God is being found faithful and serving the Lord. I believe this woman here, when it's all said and done, I believe you'd have to say she was successful at the task that was given unto her. We have this story that's given to us, and we find there are possibly three stages here that she goes through to help her to realize the blessing of having her debt paid. Now, we're looking at 2 Kings 4, and the economy and the way of life during that particular time far different than it is today. And so we find this woman, she was a wife of a prophet, and the prophet has died, and like most prophets and preachers, he leaves a debt. And that debt is there, and the creditor comes, and he says, if you can't pay, then I'm going to take your two sons, and they're going to be payment, and they're going to work for me, and they're going to work out that debt that is there. And so Elisha, apparently he is the chief prophet in Israel at this time. He is the one now that has come back across and has the power of God upon him. And there's a school of the prophets that is there. And this woman comes and says, there's cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha. She recognized who he was. She recognized what he was. And she comes and gives him the story. She comes and tells him of the problems of her life. If we were to go around the auditorium tonight, I'll guarantee you there's every one of us have certain problems that only the Lord can take care of. And we sometimes need to tell others. And she comes and she tells Elisha, the man of God, and she tells him the predicament that she is in. I'm sure she comes with a broken heart, and she comes and her husband has died and she is bankrupt. I believe if we're ever going to be successful in the work of the Lord, there comes a time that we must realize we are bankrupt before God. We must realize there's something that takes place in our life that I have no control over, and I certainly cannot fix it. If it's going to be fixed, it's got to be taken care of by someone far greater than I, and that would be, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. This woman literally, physically, was bankrupt. She had a debt that she could not pay. She had a debt that was there, that was a legitimate debt, and the creditors are coming and knocking on her door. They had every right to do that. She owed the money. Whatever had taken place in the life of her husband, now it falls her in her lot to take care of that. And so the creditors come, and she finds herself bankrupt before this individual. There are many, many Christians tonight that are bankrupt before God. Some of them realize it, and some of them do not realize that. But she was certainly without strength. She could not do it upon herself. Many times we try to do something, and it just doesn't seem to work out. She may have tried with her own efforts to be successful, and that did not work. Sometimes we make our plans, and we make our ways, and it just doesn't meet the ways of God, and it comes to disappointment after disappointment. And sometimes we feel like I have nowhere else to turn. And really and truly, we probably ought to start there rather than get there. We probably ought to start when there's a need in our life. We probably just need to stand before the Lord and say, God, I cannot handle this. I cannot do this. I must have you. I've got to have your help and your strength. And so we usually get there and we have taken all of our abilities. We've tried every avenue. We've tried every plan. But nothing comes of it except discouragement and disappointment. And we find ourselves bankrupt before the Lord. We have done the battle in our lives and we end up losing. We do the battle physically sometimes, and we lose the battle. Sometimes we do the battle spiritually, and we lose the battle. We fight the battle against habitual sin, and we lose the battle because we do not turn it over to the Lord, and we certainly are just really bankrupt. We don't have anywhere else to turn. We don't have anywhere else to go. We've already used all of our cards. We've used all of our strings. We've called all of our friends. We've done everything we can do, and there's no help. And then we go, and sometimes we have to be like this woman. She says, I have no other help. And so she comes to the man of God. Again, we noticed in our some earlier studies that the prophet in Israel, they were a whole lot different than the preachers of today. The prophets had the word of God many times in their mouth and in their heart, and as they spoke, it was the spoken word of God. And so they are the spokesman for the Lord, and she comes to this prophet, and she explains her need. She didn't try to fool him. She didn't try to sugarcoat it. She just said, here's my need, and he says, what do you want me to do about it? And she takes up the story, and she says, my husband is dead, And it was someone that Elisha knew, for she said, he was a servant of God. And Elisha asked her in verse number 2, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house?" So, dear lady, what do you want me to do? And before she can answer that, Elisha comes up with the plan that's going to get her out of her bankruptcy. And he says, "What do you have in your house? What is there?" And, of course, she said, "All I have is a pot of oil. All I have is just a little bit of oil, and it's not enough to take care. You and I tonight, it doesn't matter what we have, it's not enough to take care of our needs. It's not enough to handle the problems that we have. It's not enough to take care of the discouragements and the heartaches and the difficulties and the problems of life. We don't have enough of our ability to do that, but I'm glad, thank the Lord, He's given us something that we can call upon Him and depend upon Him." And so he says, "What do you have in your house? What resource do you have?" You know, every one of us tonight, we have one particular resource as a believer. And that's that Holy Spirit I was talking to you about a moment ago. That resource of the Spirit of the Lord that lives within us. And He's there. So what's in your house? What's in your hand? He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And she says, "The handmaid hath not anything in the house except a pot of oil." Now, if you study the Holy, if you study the Bible very much, you'll know that oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. You and I tonight, we may not have anything else, but as a believer, as a Christian, we have a pot of oil. We have the ability to call upon the Lord. We have the ability that God would help us. And we find that he says here that all I have is just a pot of oil. And so Elijah gives her the instructions. You go collect you some vessels. Shut the door and see what God will do. Shut the door, you and your sons, and just see what the Lord would do. This lady had only a little bit of oil. She didn't have an abundance. She didn't have a valuable commodity, but it wasn't enough to take care of the debt that she owed. She could have sold that little cruse of oil or that little pot of oil, and it wouldn't have been enough. But God knew what she did have, and God knew what she did need. You know, God knows what we have tonight. All of us have something in our arsenal. We have something in our life that God can use to help us. Whatever the situation comes, there's something there that the Lord can help us. This commodity of oil was a very valuable thing at that time, but she didn't have enough. And what we have tonight, in a sense, is that we are bankrupt before God because we don't have enough of self. We don't have enough to do it. We do not have the merit. We do not have the strength within ourselves. We do not have the ability. How many times have we sat down and figured out a plan? This will work, and this will work, and that will work, and can find out it does not work. And so she has nothing but one pot of oil. Symbol of the Holy Ghost of God. We find that in Corinthians and Romans and the book of Acts. All those different places. Like the woman here in this story, we have to be resourceful. And Elisha said, you take what you have and watch God help you. What's in our house? What's in our lives? What's in our heart? And see what God can do with that and how God can help that. Now in verses 3 through 7, where we read tonight, we find that she was, I would say, very, very successful. Those verses, Elisha says, "You go borrow vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels." And then he says, "Don't borrow just a few. Borrow a lot." I believe we ought to expect God to do a lot of things for us and with us. I have heard preachers preach on this and how that she was limited because they didn't borrow more than they did. But she borrowed enough to take care of the need, and that's all she desired at that time. And so Elisha says, "You go borrow the vessels from your from your neighbors, go borrow all you can. And he says, when you do this, you come in, shut the door upon thee and thy sons, there in verse 4, and begin to pour out the oil. And of course, we read the story, and the vessel that she only had to begin with, she poured out oil and oil and oil, and every vessel that they borrowed became full. Now, that's a miracle from the Lord. That wasn't anything Elisha did, but it's a miracle from God that Elisha, he said, you just do what I tell you and watch God do what he says he will do. You know, tonight, this book here is full of things that tells us what to do. If we would just do it and then watch him take care of us. To watch him take the commodity that we have, the precious oil that we might have, and watch God use that and make this lady, she went from poverty row to she began to take care of all of her needs because of the oil that God gave to her. I'd say she was successful. I'd say she had a success in her life that maybe some of the others did not have. The victorious Christian will do something similar to that. We just have to use what God gives us. He has given us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit works in our heart and our minds, and he directs our paths to help us to do what he would provide for us. God provides ourselves many times an empty vessel, and he will fill that for us. An empty vessel is one that is confessed and has turned themselves over to the Lord. An empty vessel is one that contains nothing of self. It's empty. If I had a vessel up here, if I had a vase up here, and if it was empty, there's nothing in it, just the air, it's empty. And that's how many times, that's how we must come before the Lord and say, God, I'm empty. I have no way to help. Empty vessel is one always has an open lid. It's always ready and willing and able to take that which is being poured out and to be able to have it in the life of that particular individual. I'm glad one day I emptied myself. I realized I was empty of all of self, and I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He filled me with the Holy Spirit. And now, on different occasions, he helps us. The problems that we have. This woman did as she was told. These vessels were no longer empty. They are filled, and the oil only stopped flowing when they all were filled. And everything was taken care of. And in verse number 6, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. He said, Mom, there's no more. They're all full. Now, well, that's a lack of faith on their part. I'm not going to get into that speculation. But he said, everything we have borrowed, everything we have done that the prophet has told us to do, they're all filled with oil. And you know what? That was the need that she had in her life. I personally don't think they failed. I think they were pretty successful. Elisha didn't tell him to go continue to borrow. That'd be the modern day prosperity preacher. Just go ahead and keep it flowing, keep it coming. Keep those cards and letters coming my way. But Elisha said, you go borrow not a few, get a lot. And they did that, and God blessed them. And she says, bring me yet a vessel there in verse 6. And her son said, there's not a vessel more. Every empty pot has been filled. That's all she asked for. That's all she needed. Every vessel has been filled. And there is not a vessel more. The oil stayed. And she came in verse 7. She came and told the man of God. He said, now. She said, I've done what you told me to do. And you know what happened? Every vessel I borrowed, every pot I borrowed is full of oil. And so she comes to Elisha and tells him, and I'm sure she came excited. I tell you what, it excites you when God does something for you personally. Nobody else may know about it, but when God does something for you and you alone, you're excited. And she comes to Elisha And she said, I've done what you told me. And he said, now you go sell, pay thy debt, live thou and thy children of the rest. Not only did she have enough to sell to pay her debt, she had enough to live on. I'd say she pretty successful. I don't think she failed in not getting enough. What God had given her was the vessels that were filled, and therefore she lived on that, her and her two sons, that was going to go into bond slave. They had no hope of ever being free. You and I, we have no hope of ever being free except one day the Spirit of God came and directed us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have blessing. She did as she was told, no longer any empty vessels. She paid her debt, and she lived off of the remaining portion of the oil. How long did she live? I don't know. But the Bible says here, she lived and her children of the rest. I'd say that woman, pretty successful. Can you imagine, as doesn't tell us how old her children are, doesn't tell us any of the details, but can you imagine the stories that she could tell in her lifetime of remembering what God did for her on a particular occasion? I've heard some of you talk about certain things that God did for you and you alone. And you don't forget about that, because God's very close and very precious to us. And so she lived off of that. And the rest of her life, I'm sure she and her son said, do you remember that day? We went out and borrowed all those pots. We didn't know what we was doing it for. But we were living off of the oil that God gave to us. Isn't it wonderful when God answers our prayer? Isn't it wonderful when the Lord says, here's what I have for you? Elisha, just a steady prophet. He didn't make no big deal about it. He just told her what to do. She did it, and God blessed. And what a wonderful story it is. I was going to go on into verse 8, 9, and 10, but we'll not go there. And there's another woman that, and we mentioned her a couple of weeks ago too, but there's a little more detail there we want to look at. And she built a room for this prophet as he traveled through her town every so often. And the Bible says she was a great woman. She was a wealthy woman. And she made a room for the prophet. And that's where we get, and I told you last time, that's where we get the term prophet's chamber. That's where it comes from. She built a chamber for the prophet of God so that when he came through, he could find somewhere to have rest and have some nourishment. And God blessed them because of what they did for the man of God. I'm glad we can be successful. The world might not think much about it. The world might not say a word about it. They may not even notice it. But I'm glad God notices what he does for his children. And now he makes us to serve him the best of our ability. Do we fail? Sure. We fail every day. That's why sometimes Brother Gallagher was talking Sunday on this thing of forgiveness. We fail, and sometimes we have to ask somebody to forgive us. And sometimes we have to forgive people because we are humans. We are just people. But aren't you glad God can make us a success? He's the one that, I'd rather be a success on God's time card than anybody else's. I'd rather him say, well done, thou good, faithful servant. Let's stand together tonight.